Teachers and Writers Collaborative presents Everything Goes on WNYE 91.5 FM. I'm Ann Whitehouse, and today I'd like to begin with a tribute to the late Irwin Gonshak. Irwin's career in radio spanned over 50 years, and he began this show with a visionary idea and kept it going, giving voice to scores of writers. Irwin gave me my first opportunity to read on Everything Goes in 1999, and I'm grateful for his steadfast support. I'd also like to thank Teachers and Writers Collaborative and Dale Burley for continuing to engineer and produce Everything Goes. I'm reading from my poetry chapbook, Bear in Mind, which is being published by Southern Hum Press, www.southernhum.com, that's H-U-M. I begin with two poems about my daughter in her infancy and early childhood, Mother and Child, followed by Claire in a Swing. Mother and Child. A gray mid-March day, the bare branches lean across the blank sky. All colors moved indoors, where my daughter and I play with her toys laid out on the rug, rattles, dolls, and trucks, nesting plastic bowls, a flock of yellow ducks. Shakily she stands, her tongue darting like a snake's between her pink gums. She smiles, claps her hands, and bangs the shell table made by great-grandpa of rare wormy chestnut. Its submarine treasures are sealed under glass. Her palms leave sticky smears. She reaches for my face. Her hands stroke my ears and clasp around my neck, her cheek against my skin. I breathe her mild scent. I take it all in. My baby pulls me hard. She is so insistent. She turns to press her forehead against mine, and the world seems to shrink as if it held just us, a game that lovers play. Did babies play it first? Now in my arms she lies, her mouth at my breast, a soft, avid pump. She clutches me and then relaxes into sleep. Night falls. The minutes spin away in the dark. Now I'm forgetting this. I must have dozed off too. She sucks in dreamy bliss as her sweat gilds my arm. Matted hair, cradled head. Love flows in me like a river in a muddy bed that roars around stones, shedding mist and spray, and swells to meet the sea, forever carried away. Ephemeral baby whose growth will replace you, shadow and memory till time will erase you. To show you as you were, my quicksilver daughter, I fix you on this page, Claire, 8 months of age. Claire in a Swing. Baby becoming a child, where do you go, rising and dropping back like a pendulum? Not joyous as I thought after your eager cries at 7 a.m. of park and swing. Instead of reaching out to embrace the tilting world, you retreat into yourself, a faraway look on your face, as if suspended from heaven by a tether. Here is echoed all your changeless swinging. Serene, you rise and sink in crevices of air. I'd keep you back a while, but you have already flown out of my arms. It's an odd paradox, but I think that it's true that a poem will fix us in time and deliver us from time simultaneously. When I read the next two poems, I am transported back to the mid-1980s and early 1990s. These are both garden poems, the first about a city garden and the second a garden in the country, herbal and remembering last summer. Herbal. Murmuring voices of passers-by drift in the air to my open window four stories up, drowned in a sudden blast of rap music from a passing car. In its wake, relief. Pitcher in hand, I climb the fire escape, crouching on the wrought iron bars to tend my plants. An arc of water dances on the soil of my fire escape garden, and I breathe the rich scent of wet earth, admire the fragrant herbs in 14 pots, my faith renewed after last year's failures. One ripe tomato was my crop. Out of 6 plants, 3 didn't flower. Basil fared better, but scarcely flourished. Abandoned in the fall, the plants withered and died. All winter, the pots remained outside, a reproach. One night, drunk and angry, our upstairs neighbor shattered his window. Glass rained down, splattering the pots, a volley crashing on the fire escape, followed by cursing and wailing. Another binge, we learned. Weeks later, I met the culprit in the elevator, a beret covering his sparse hair, wearing shorts like a boy gripping a walker. He slurred a greeting as he beamed a silly, innocent smile. I pretended with him not to know. Will he survive the next one? I wonder. He's quiet for the moment, if not sober. Charmed by an upstate nursery, I've multiplied my hopes and spent my cash on a flat of thriving plants, more this year, plus 30 pounds of potting soil and a blue potion named Miracle Grow. I've taken the old pots, dumped last year's dirt, scrubbed them with bleach and rinsed them clean, transplanted the herbs, watered with new earth. There's basil again and coriander, silvery sage and flat-leafed parsley, tarragon, thyme, and rosemary, and lemon balm with candied breath. I'll stake these plants and water them, protect them as I can against the weather, predators, drunkards. I'll harvest them leaf by leaf. Nourished, I'll let grow back what's taken. Remembering last summer, for Bob Colagrandi. Clumps of hostas open their heart-shaped leaves. Coral bells dangle, tiny, frail, vibrant. A carpet of myrtle, emerald, and blue has covered the little hill between the house and the barn, and colonies of phlox edge the woods. It's May again. Bright specks of pollen float in the sky. All last spring and summer, you couldn't seem to put enough life into the earth. Feverish, you rose at dawn, digging, transplanting, sowing seeds and bulbs. You kept Paul busy buying plants for you. I remember how joking he complained. I can't support your habit, but supplied you anyway. Approaching your birthday at midsummer, you said, "I may be the youngest of you all, but I feel like the oldest." You were never at a loss for words, though you left much unsaid. I think you had left your body in a sense even then, and were riding horses, as in the old days, in the California hills, or skiing the Chilean slopes, all you had done or still wanted to do. At summer's end, you left us all for good. The tulips you planted came back this year, majestic as you would like, their satiny petals unfurling. The dahlias, however, died. No matter. Paul will plant other flowers, lilies of the valley and bleeding hearts, their fat pink purses all in a row. The stream runs clear and cold. It turns to silver between my fingers. Hearing your voice in his head, Paul tends the garden now, and I, a visitor, believe you live again in its brief blooms. Throughout the U.S. and Canada, there are probably lots of landscapes featuring a rock precipice over a body of water about which a legend has grown up that here an Indian maiden, unhappy in love, plunged to her death. This poem is about one of those places. It is also a sonnet, Indian Love Call. Like the colored breath of a spring evening made liquid, O green water with a bed of stone that has taken her, the faithful one. Alone in remorse, she edged the cliff, life abandoning, her body soft in its season, her black hair streaming, she fell like a rock from the rock. This is the legend. Hear it and mock. A thousand beery afternoons silver the air with revel. Youth is immortal. Shatter the sun, dive like the knife of derision into the cold, the shimmerless. Envision her splintered bones, the eons of pebbles scatter, absolving the stone's caress, tickle of fish, and rise. You are not drowned. Take back your wish. The next two poems are about people's love for their animals. The first is an elegy. Elegy for William, Guinea Pig, 1995 to 2000. In the heart of the rose gnaws the beetle. The bright orange pest consumes the flower in a few minutes and moves on. In the still afternoon while we were away, a marauding beast invaded our porch and attacked our little pet, putting out his eyes, wounding him mortally. Glossy-coated William of the patient gaze and delicate feet, who'll no longer rest his tired, heavy head on my willing arm. We will remember this innocent creature who came to harm. Gentle William, small, tame, and sweet. In my mind's ear, I hear him still. Livy's Horses. I had one true love, and I lost him. He left me for Jana. She did me a favor. He and I couldn't live together. We would have destroyed each other. When he was dying of cancer, I was the one she called. She and I took care of him. 12 years ago, I came to Santa Fe with two horses, and I'll be leaving like that too. Before I found a house, I found a stable. I'll do it again in Fort Collins. I love the alpacas, but I'm giving them up. This past winter was hard, 28 inches of snow and no roads plowed. I'm 60 years old. I can't do this much longer. Besides, I never liked it here. Too liberal for me. Slender, still beautiful, Livy roams the fields with her dog Jill, a white Great Pyrenees. After Blossom died from the difficult birth, the Crea stillborn too, Livy took Jill with her into the wilderness and cried and cried. It will break my heart to leave Jill, but she can't live without her herd. The things of Livy's life are blowing away like blossoms in springtime. Soon they will be gone like desert snows. Except for the horses, she'll keep the horses. The next three poems are grounded in my everyday life. The first one I will read is called Change of Life. On an early spring day as mutable as youth and age, Swimming ducks cross the ripples lifted by water blowing over a pond, and around the perimeter circles a child on a fire engine red bicycle taking his first ride with training wheels. I am at the change of life. The blood that seeps from me is rusty, as if it were already old and dried, a memory of flows long over, passed from me without regret. No more cramping pain, like a fist clenched deep inside, released into newness. Last week's snow disrupted the onset of spring, falling sparely and gently, almost wistfully. For 3 days it lay on the earth like a white shroud, soft, heavy, and wet, and vanished in a morning. The trees have gone on budding. A mist of green rises from the ground. Next to the pond and singing birds, Shogo Kubo in solemn black plays Spanish guitar for love and money, plucking the delicate notes that fall from his fingers like drops of water. A sparrow stares me in the eye as if challenging me. The meditative chords take my thoughts with them. The past is like the wind blowing on my face, unavoidable, invisible. The future like a star not yet born. Roses in November. Roses in November in front of the police station, white mold on the dead leaves, and at the summit of the morning sky, the fading profile of the half moon. My feet trod lightly on the way to the park, and I was silent, thinking of the same wish I made for years that never was granted. No cause but my own sadness at hope unfulfilled turned to regret. Not caring what art demanded, my family was upset with me for my self-absorption, my love that excluded them, something in me that struggles past my own resistance to the search for that quiet, still, dark pool where the words well up, necessary and lucid as water. Lost and found. The lost jewelry turned up, cradled in a seashell on my dresser, along with paper clips, a state quarter, and a pushpin. At first, I thought its delicate silver dangles were the mangled ends of a paper clip, and I almost tossed it. When I realized I held my earring's missing twin, that twice, months apart, I'd turned the blue case inside out for and never found, I felt a surge of pure happiness for the restored set. No burden at all on fragile earlobes, my lovely, loopy, frail fronds of silver swinging between soft hair, smooth skin. Last, I will read the 5-poem cycle that gives this collection its title, Bear in Mind. Bear in Mind, 1, Sea Change. The water's breach into the shore was like forgetfulness eroding memory. The waves kept coughing up long ropes of weeds till they lay on the beach in snarled skeins. Everything lovely and unique, the white shore sparkling in the sun, the myriad colored shells, the speckled sands, was lost to sight and touch under the muck, and it was impossible to tell if it was gone or just waiting for the seaweeds to wash away. But they went nowhere. Flung by waves, they sunk in pools of seawater. More sand washed up. The weeds rotted, filling the air with stink. The damage was done. A head decay, then new life. 2. Her age advances on her. Once I prided myself on my memory. Now all that is lost. She plucks at her sleeve, looking wistful. She cannot recollect the fall, her accident, the surgery. She presses uneasily on the weft of time. It will not hold her. She slips through it as if through a sieve, her memories in pieces. She's gotten lost traveling down a road she's been 1,000 times. Familiar landmarks appear strange, their order confused. Years past loom large, last week's a blank, like a cloud fallen to earth, covering everything in sight, at once holding in rain and breathing it out. Sometimes in the early mornings, as she lies in bed, thoughts will visit her and she feels almost normal. When she rises, the gaps appear. When I turned 80, I was elated. Now it's all so altered, not better or worse, but different. I couldn't have imagined it. With less, she takes less for granted. Her once prickly self-absorption smoothed to tempered gratitude. 3. My life at 50. The roller coaster hills of Vermont and Massachusetts bear my daughter and me gently up and down. Near the road, under mantles of ice and old snow, a brook runs blackly. From a frozen pond, glimpsed in passing, an image imprints on my memory, as if my mind had snapped a picture without a camera. A fallen branch caught in the ice, its black twiggy ends pointing toward the depths. It haunts my mind like a ghost image, the negative x-ray of a hand reaching through solid pond to buried earth. I think, my life's a half century over. Overhead, telephone wires shine like gold necklaces in the waning sun. Jewels for the eye on our journey home to where he waits for us, husband and father. Expectantly, I bless this life I had to learn to trust and want to have, away from those who raised me and their endless woes. Now the sun is a red lozenge, glowing and vanishing. Still my girl can see to turn her pages in the dark. To posterity, 4. The chatter of life causes me headaches, but I am afraid of eternal silence. I long for my words to be read. The Creator pressed its thumb in the lump of clay and looked deep to see the shapes within it would struggle to give form to. God's creations possess their intrinsic life. Human creations live in the connection expressed to the beholder, renewed with each encounter. What's known is over, is dead. What's alive is mysterious. The struggle of finding one word to follow another keeps me writing. The suspense in every moment keeps me going to the next, using up my life. We dip our hands in the past as into an ocean, and from the shared medium, each one comes up holding something different. Generations not yet born, this is my invitation to take my words for your own use. This expression, my creation, let it be for you a way to your own life. If not, then be a shimmer, like the track of a snail in the moonlight. 5. June 8th, 2004. Outside at 7 a.m., my daughter and I dare not look at the blazing eastern sky. We cannot see the rare event unaided, the transit of Venus across the sun. But fortune has provided us an astronomer and sun-filtered telescope all set up as if waiting for us in Columbia University's outdoor living room. Resting on top of a low wall that borders a raised lawn is the delicate instrument. Not everything is as it seems. The astronomer is really a music professor who willingly shares his love of the stars. We gaze into the telescope in awe at the mirrored image, the small black dot of Venus crossing over the southern hemisphere of the shielded orange sun. Our hearts beat to celestial time. As Venus passes the sun's rim, it flattens against it slightly, as if kissing it goodbye. Thank you. Everything Goes is engineered and produced by Dale Burley and comes to you from the studio of WNYE FM 91.5, New York.